are related to the credentials for learning and the European learning model. So the European learning model is the data model that is behind the European credentials for learning. And those two credentials for learning are a set of standards, but we also have specific software for the issuing, the storing, sealing, signing, and sharing of credentials. Our broader policy context is the European Pillar of Social Rights and its action plan, and in particular of the first action that is related to education and training. Then our policy context also covers the European Skills Agenda that was adopted in 2020, and also the European Education Area Communication. We also have a different policy document and background directly underpinning the two credentials for learning, in particular the Europass decision, which is the legal base for the Commission to develop this part of the infrastructure, and the European Qualifications Framework. There looks at qualifications, but it also has an annex that looks directly at the data field on how to describe a qualification in the EU. On top of that, we have the Micro-Credentials Council recommendation that has the same approach as the European Qualifications Framework. It has an annex with data fields on how to describe a micro-credential in Europe. And all these data fields are the basis for creating digital credentials under the European Digital Credentials for Learning Framework. Finally, we can mention a few other documents, the Digital Education Action Plan, the Digital Decade as well, the European Skills Competences and Occupations Taxonomy, and the Individual Learning Account Recommendation that refers directly to these credentials. In the next slide, you can see the broader context for the European Digital Credentials for Learning. Why is the Commission interested? Well, first of all, it is an increasingly digitalizing world, so we need to have adaptability and to have flexibility to move away from or on top of paper to have a digital solution. And it is fully aligned with the Commission and the EU broader digital strategy. For us, a key pillar as well is security and trust. So we have tamper-proof credentials, or rather tamper-evident credentials based on an e-seal that is based on EU legislation that ensures that we have a recognition of the electronic seals that we are using. And it is also important for us to fight diploma mills and fraud in the field of education and training credentials. Then recognition. So as the European Commission, we are looking at ways to support labor and learning mobility in the Union. And one of the ways to support that one is to have recognition and to have a simple way of presenting both knowledge and skills and where does the knowledge come from. So with a standardized presentation, it can get easier for recognition body in their assessment of the different skills and knowledge, due to also the rendering of the different achievements. And it's also transparent on the origin. So we ensure that stakeholders know the source and the authenticity of every credentials, thus fostering the trust. The fourth point is showcasing knowledge and skills. So there we have a high adaptability to labor market needs and relevance because we have this focus on learning outcomes and achievements and skills. So to go beyond as well qualifications, but to look at skills directly. And it has also a lifelong learning approach, meaning that we do not focus only on formal education, but we also consider non-formal education. And we look at all the different sectors. We look at adult learning in the same way that we look at vocational education and training, at apprenticeships, but also at general education. And finally, what is also very important for us is the ownership of data. So the recipient of the credential is the one in control of their wallet and their portfolio. So it really empowers them because they have control of all their achievements and also ensures data privacy and security. And all this landscape of wallets and portfolios can facilitate the easier management, the sharing, and also the verification of the credentials in this connected ecosystem where the owner can share only a presentation of the credential. So it makes it easier for them to navigate the different landscape. In the next slide, you will see a brief overview of all the different evolution of the infrastructure since 2023. 2023 was a very big year, a milestone in the European Credentials for Learning development, because we had a major upgrade moving towards the latest version of our data model, the European Learning Model. And at the same time, we upgraded the whole infrastructure into JSON credentials. In our next release last year, we introduced accreditation with a connection with the European data, the European data quality assurance register. And we also had another release looking at improving usability and credential visualization. And finally, and this is a bit the core of tonight's presentation, is the latest 2.3 update, and we are very happy to present it to you. And I will hand over the floor to my colleague, Justin Cook, to do the presentation.
Thank you very much, Celine. So I will take you through some of the updates that are coming in EDC 2.3. If I just go to the next slide. Okay, so the EDC infrastructure is made up of a number of components. We have the viewer, we have the online credential builder, we have the wallet and verifier. So focusing on the viewer and the OCB to start with, we have one of the, I guess, one of the biggest changes in the release, which is about the validity of the signatures in the credentials. So mimicking the paper world where we expect a diploma to be valid for life, we need to make sure that any credentials that are issued to the students and so on are also valid for life. And the way we do this is to extend the signature validity of the credentials, because typically they are only valid for a number of years. So this feature is about allowing the basically the viewer will provide information to the user when they upload a credential to tell them if the signature is about to expire. And if it is about to expire, I think it's within 12 months, then the system will propose to sign the credential, extend the signature of the credential by applying a digital timestamp and then download that credential again. There are other parts to this signature validity which I'll come on to soon. And then we've got a number of display-oriented features, so allowing additional identifier to be provided for the credential holder, so for example a student ID. Some improvements in the way that notes and other documents are viewed in the viewer. So we've got some other elements such as changes to the default display setting, so that certain things are also expanded rather than collapsed. Things like this. So moving on to the latter parts of the list. The other thing, I guess, that worth mentioning at the bottom is that we're now permitting decimal values in some of the fields that are numeric in nature. So things like durations and volume of learning and so on. So previously this was only allowing integer values. So now we provide features for decimal values as well. Moving on to the wallet, part of the infrastructure. So one of the things that was disabled as part of the transition from XML to JSON was the downloading of a credential. Now that's been enabled again in version 2.3, so the users can now download the JSON credentials from their wallet to their file system if they need to. And coming back to this whole signature validity question, we've also implemented a mechanism by which the wallet will auto-check all of the credentials for expiry, credentials that are soon to expire, basically, so that we can auto extend the signatures by applying a digital timestamp. So this, I think, applies to credentials that are going to expire within 3 months, but this can be configured also. Another thing that we've allowed from the issuer perspective is to configure multiple wallets to deliver the credentials to, with one being a default wallet, but also providing mechanisms to send to either that default wallet or multiple wallets. And the last item on the list here is providing API access. So this is mainly for implementers of the infrastructure to provide a mechanism to use existing credential templates through an API by uploading or providing a spreadsheet, Excel or CSV file which contains the recipient information to automate the whole credential creation, signature and sending process. And then some miscellaneous updates. So we have a mechanism or feature in the credential builder to allow the issuer to specify custom HTML templates to provide a different look and feel for the credentials. And as part of this update to JSON, a cheat sheet has been provided to allow or to provide guidance basically in moving from the old XPath mechanisms to the newer JSON mechanisms. One of the things that we discovered regarding the signature and the e-seals was that some European e-seal providers didn't provide the type information for the seals that they were giving out. And this was causing some issues for us in the verification process. Whereas in fact, if you check the main libraries, the DSS libraries for these seals, they pass. So we needed to relax this constraint to allow the type label to be left unknown. And then we have an update to the ESCO classification or version, if you like. So this is the European Skills classification. We were on version 1.09 and we've now moved to 1.1.2. And finally on this list, we are moving some of the controlled list reference data to the European Publications Office. And then in the future, we'll be relying on this information when issuing credentials and verifying credentials to make sure that we populate the credentials, such as the schema information, with the correct data. And that's it for 2.3. On the last slide, just a little teaser for EDC 2.4, which is also on its way. This is mainly focused on technical upgrades. There's been some quite significant upgrades to the Java platform, the user interface framework, Spring, and a number of other big things that we had to do to provide a platform to move the developments forward in the future. So that's been done as part of 2.4. One of the additional features, if you like, that we managed to squeeze in there to 2.4 was a mechanism to opt out of creating a temporary wallet for users who don't have a wallet yet. So we have this feature where when a credential is issued, if the holder doesn't have a wallet that exists already, then we will create a temporary one which lasts for several months, which then the user then can claim and then link to their Europass accounts accordingly. For GDPR reasons, we have the mechanism to opt out of this feature if needed from the issuing perspective. And then in terms of timing, yeah, we expect 2.4 to be released during the month of May this year. And that's all I have to say on EDC 2.3, 2.4. Let's take questions.
We have a queue. I think the first one is Dimitri. Please go ahead with your question, Dimitri.
Sure, yeah. Thank you so much. This is fabulous. I think my question was, you mentioned there was an API to transport these credentials to and from wallets, right? I just wanted to ask about that, like which API is it using? Is there like a link to the docs? Is it the OpenID family of APIs? That sort of thing.
That's a very good question. So I don't know if anyone can answer that that's on the call at the moment.
Okay, otherwise, no problem. But it should be in the documentation somewhere, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, okay, sounds good then. No worries.
Well, sorry, it's Marcin. We're going to be taking over the system. I just briefly take a look at the code. The whole system is protected by the OIDC EU login solution. So to high probability, API also is guarded by the OIDC provided by EU login.
Understood. I got it. Go ahead, Simone.
Yeah, thank you. It is a related question, maybe not as technical, but when you open up to multiple wallets, could you give us examples of what kind of wallet categories you're referring to, or even name a few? Thank you.
Okay, so by default, we have a wallet, an online wallet, which is hosted alongside a system called Europass. So Europass users also basically have a wallet, an online wallet, in which their credentials can be stored. So that's the one that's hosted by the Commission. But there's also an open source version of EDC, which implementers can install themselves, deploy themselves, and create their own instances of an online wallet. But in the future, we'll be looking at integrating with other types of wallets that will be part of other initiatives from the EU, such as EUDI wallets. That's something that will be coming in the future.
Thank you.
I saw Eric raising his hand and then removing it. Did you get your question answered, or was it an accidental hand? Okay, excellent.
I'm going to jump in with another question, if that's okay, Ildiko.
Of course.
So you mentioned the connection with DECWIRE, so the quality assurance registry in Europe. Could you share a bit more about what that relationship allows? Is it a sort of registry that provides a governance layer to EDC? I wonder if you could comment on that a little bit more. Thank you.
Perhaps I can start, and then colleagues feel free to add. So ECHAR is the European Quality Assurance Register. So it's a separate organization. It was developed under the Bologna framework to look at quality assurance for either institutions or programs in higher education. Now they are also starting to look as well at micro-credentials. What they have is a database with all the different records of accreditation. And what we have in EDC is the possibility to link directly from DECAR the reference to the record, meaning that you can issue credentials in the regular way, but you can also issue credentials in an accredited way, meaning that we would also check the accreditation record and the match between the issuer and the accreditation.
Céline, is it a sort of a trusted accreditation organization registry? I'm using an ABSI term maybe, but so this is a registry of the organization that can accredit other universities, for example? Or could you please clean that up, as it was probably not correct?
Then again, I'm not an expert in accreditation. Basically you have different quality assurance in the different member states, and then you have this European level. So it's it's more about sharing information on the accreditation elements and the records, because usually the institutions go through the quality assurance in their own member states, so they have an authority that is in charge of the whole process.
Thank you.
If I can also jump in, some information that might be helpful to put this all into context as well is that I think what's really important about these accreditation records is that ACAR actually formulated their accreditation records that are displayed on their websites and that are leading to PDF documents and formal documents in ELM compliant standard format. And then those records are actually uploaded into our qualification data set register that is our accreditation database. So basically there is a copy of all these records. But it's worth mentioning that DECAR is just the first piloter with a great number of accreditation records contributed to this European database. But the database is not just linked to DECAR. So there are other authorized EU member state representatives who can also contribute accreditation data into this database.
I think it would be really interesting to take a look at what data elements are used to describe these records. It triggers a conversation that we were having at the TLN last week around registries and the different layers of governance. It feels that this could be an interesting reference implementation at the governance level that we could look at. And so if we look at it from the data perspective, just seeing what the data model of these records is, probably is a good way to inform future developments.
I pasted the link into the chat that links to from our ELM browser to the shackle constraints for the accreditation, which is one application of the European learning model. So there's one for credentials, one for learning opportunities and qualifications, and this particular application profile is a subset of the ontology to describe accreditation. Do we have any other questions from the audience? Yes, there's one from Laura. ECAR. And Simona earlier pasted a link to the ECAR website and the DECAR database within. ECAR is basically just a database of ECAR. Please go ahead.
I have a ton of questions. I'm wondering if we could get a better sense of what is the current adoption of EDC or roadmap in terms of strategy for engagement, who's using it at a high level, if there's any type of visibility that we could get. Thank you.
So in terms of adoptions, we have so far around 25,000 credentials that are stored in Europass wallets, meaning that credentials those that people have kept in the Europass wallet. So there may be more credentials that have been issued because we do not track the credentials themselves. In terms of use cases, we have quite a different variety of implementers. So we have some that are in the formal sector with, for instance, Luxembourg was one of the front runner with all their vocational education diplomas issued using both paper and the European Student Credentials for Learning format. Then we have other implementers. So we had also the University of Split in Croatia. We have other member states that are looking at a bit larger scale implementation. So Spain has a major project called Certi Digital, where they are looking to develop their own system, but interoperable with the European Student Credentials for Learning. So we are also in contact and supporting those implementation use case. Estonia is also looking, for instance, as a bit of a broader digitalization of their learning credentials project. We have also Malta looking at all their secondary education diplomas to be issued using the system. And then we have non-formal education credentials. There we have one of our biggest and most recent implementers is going to be the EIT, so the European Innovation Technology Organization for InnoEnergy, called InnoEnergy. So there they are upskilling adults in the field of everything related to batteries. And it will be all of their training will lead to the issuance of such a credential. We also have smaller scale with Erasmus Plus project also using the system. We have the Erasmus Student Network that has been issuing those credentials for their non-formal training that they give within the context of the association. So that gives a bit of a broader picture. Now, in terms of how we engage, we are also working on our own strategy and how we want also to keep pushing forward. We also rely a lot on the national Europass centers that are the centers in the member states and also in the EU, in the candidate and potential candidate and the EEA countries. Because they are on the ground, they are in the member states and they know the direct stakeholders. They can also relay information in the national language. So they're also an important multiplier as well for the digital credentials for learning.
In the meantime, we have a question from Sharon Liu in the chat. How have you been testing interoperability of credentials between implementers?
At least for me, the question is not super clear on the type of interoperability we're talking about.
Sharon, maybe can you come on and elaborate if you have a functional mic?
Sorry, I've been sick, so my voice is like very terrible right now. I'm just curious, like, so the different implementers, they're issuing different credentials. Have you been looking to see if the credentials are portable across the different wallets that are being used in these different cases, or that, you know, people can extract the data with meaning from the credentials as expected, and, you know, all of the different interoperability related questions on verification and things like that.
So Anthony in chat mentioned that all that's needed for interop is like RDF shackle validation. But I agree with Sharon about the question though, because it's one thing to specify a a specification, a data model, even formally specify, like with Shackle validation or JSON schema. And it's another thing to see the credential on a vendor's wallet, right? And so like Sharon and some of the other VC Edu community has implemented grants and held a series of interoperability plug fests where, you know, we were practically testing, okay, here's the credential, here's the specification, now actually display it in your wallet or transfer it from the issuer to the wallet or from the wallet to the verifier, right? And I think part of what Sharon was asking is, have you performed any of that testing?
Simona?
I wonder if this question is part of the the work coming. As we have seen in the slides, the support for multiple wallets is not something that has been worked on right now, as the focus has been mainly the issuing platform into the one hosted Europass wallet, if we will. So if that is in the future, maybe that is the question, is how are you thinking, if you have thought about the strategy for to support multiple wallets?
If I may jump in, and then of course you're welcome to chip in. I think it's probably the answer would be different depending on whether it comes from one unit or the other. But basically, since this is a European Commission standard and infrastructure, and the community edition of the code is also available, if the wallets are standard compliant, it doesn't matter who developed their own infrastructures. It will be, in essence, compatible with all the other credentials. So the wallets in Europe that were created based on those standards would be able to accept the credentials, irrespective of which also standard compliant issuer issued the credential. We do not have that many implementers right now who are developing wallets. It's much more customary for people to use the existing infrastructure and services, and more people are interested in creating their own issuer. But it seems like using the Europass infrastructure as the wallet provider is a very convenient solution as of now. And Anthony has some more to say in the chat. Yeah, short answer is no in a public environment, nothing like a plugfest up to this point. We do integration assistance on a bilateral basis with implementers via our support team. Yes. Simone.
So that said, it may be, as I'm looking ahead at the opportunity to engage further with the EDC team, as you start to look at supporting multiple wallets and interoperability becomes more of an issue in the agenda, maybe we can, we'd be happy to share the experience we've had with the JFF and W3C VC EDU Plugfest as you venture in that direction, maybe even imagining how might we open up a space like an interoperability sandbox between the European digital credentials and the rest of the ecosystem that is largely now looking at wallets as one of the key components of their architectures. And similarly, you have the same situation already happening in Europe with EBSI, but we would be very open and certainly eager to have that conversation if that fits the roadmap.
Well, thank you, Simone. We'll keep that in mind. And if we ever decide to pursue that route, we'll get in touch. Thank you.
Thank you. We're approaching the end of the scheduled time. If there are any further questions from the audience, you are more than welcome to ask either in the chat or by speaking up. It would be very interesting to hear some feedback as well from those of you who are familiar with similar infrastructures elsewhere and other continents. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a question. If you have any comments or reflections, please do share. And if there aren't any, then I don't know if we made it to the last slide, but I do know that there's a contact information or contact email address on the last slide, which I might be able to copy into the chat as well. If you do have some other comments that you would rather share privately, then you can get in touch with the EDC team and ask away for the questions, make your reflections. And thank you very much for the presentation, first of all, to the Commission representatives. Thank you very much for your time and sharing the update with us. And if there is nothing else, thank you very much, Celine, for sharing the email address. Then we can probably conclude. And I'm going to stop the recording. And thank you.